on the basis of the word of the Lord for which you have just given thanks and which you have just heard from the 11th chapter, the Gospel according to St. Mark, I want to speak to you briefly this morning on the theme, the word that withered the tree. Did Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, actually stop along the way and curse a fig tree as he was about to make atonement for the sins of the world? Yes, Jesus cursed a fig tree on the way to the cross. It's obvious from what St. Peter said in our text of the morning, Mark 11, verse 21. Peter turned to Jesus and said, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. The word cursed simply means you spoke against it. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He spoke against the tree. The fact that Jesus cursed the fig tree is seen not just from what Peter said, but also from what all the apostles saw. For we read in verse 20 of our text, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. From what the apostles saw, we are led to understand that Jesus cursed the entire tree. The whole tree was barren, and he cursed it from the roots up. The entire organic structure was doomed. We're reminded of the words of John the Baptist. The axe is already laid to the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But in our pericope, in our text for the morning, we find no axe, we find no cutting down, and we find no fire. And this is the whole point of this text. They're not needed. Simply at the word spoken by Jesus, the tree is all dried up. It was the word spoken, the spoken word that withered the tree. But why did Jesus, on the way to the cross to renew heaven and earth, stop along the way to curse a fig tree? Well, the answer is given a few verses back in the 11th chapter of Matthew, of Mark, reading from verse 12. Mark tells us on the next day, that would be the Monday after Palm Sunday, when they had departed from Bethany, Jesus became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Now let's take a careful look at these few verses and get right on this matter of figs. First of all, we are never told in the text that Jesus came to the tree to find figs. The text never says it. The text specifically says that Jesus approached the tree to see if he might find anything or something. The Greek indefinite pronoun is used, not the word fig. And both Matthew and Mark follow this up by saying when Jesus approached the tree, they don't say he didn't find figs. They say he found nothing except leaves. Furthermore, our text, the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 13, explicitly tells us the season for figs had not arrived. Now, if Mark knew that, certainly our Lord knew that too. He too was born and brought up in that environment. And after all, who knows more about fig trees than the one who made them? And finally, we ought to observe that in his curse upon the tree, the Lord does not say, "No longer throughout the age shall anyone eat figs of thee." The text does not say that because the Lord did not say that. The Lord said, "No longer throughout the age shall anyone eat fruit of thee." He uses the more generic and the broader term. But then, if he came to the fig tree, what did he expect to find, if not figs? We let F.F. Bruce, the British scholar, answer the question for us from a little book he wrote, The New Testament Documents. Are they reliable? Well, I have no trouble with the New Testament documents. They're reliable. This morning, I hope F.F. Bruce is also reliable. And he really should be. This little book has been around since 1934. It's gone through 5 revisions and 14 reprints. And here's what F.F. Bruce says. "The time of figs was not yet," says Mark, "for it was just before Passover, about 6 weeks before the fully formed fig appeared." The fact that Mark adds these words shows that he knew what he was talking about. When the fig leaves appear about the end of March, they are accompanied by a crop of small knobs called tach, T-A-Q-S-H. They are called this by the Arabs, a sort of forerunner of the real fig. These tach are eaten by peasants and others when they're hungry. They drop off before the real fig is formed. But if the leaves appear unaccompanied by tach, there will be no figs that year. So it was evident to our Lord when he turned aside to see if there were any of these tach on the fig tree to assuage his hunger for the time being, that the absence of the tach meant there would be no figs when the time for figs came. For all its fair show of foliage, it was a fruitless and it was a hopeless tree. But so much for agriculture. Let's get down to the real business of our text. We leave the matter of cultivating the soil and we turn to the matter of cultivating the soul. Somehow in this pericope, we must now make a transfer. We must go from Jesus and the tree to Jesus and you. To Jesus and me. I said we must make the transfer. That's not right. The transition has already been made. It's been made by our Lord Jesus. We simply have to follow him step by step. The transition is accomplished for us once we recognize that the main topic of discourse here is not a tree that has been cursed and withered. The main topic of discourse is the authority of the word of our Lord Jesus, the word that withered that tree, and the word that can do much more than that. That this is indeed the emphasis of this text can be seen because it is our Lord himself who directs our attention away from the tree and draws it to the mountain on which that tree once grew. That's important. The relationship between the tree and the mountain on which it once grew is the relationship between the power of the word of Jesus that was spoken by Jesus when he was in the world, and the power of the word of Jesus as it is entrusted and committed and left with us, his church, after he arose and ascended from this world. And this relationship is clearly indicated to us by our Lord. And it is seen most clearly from Matthew's account, verse 21:21, where Jesus answered and said unto them, "Truly I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain on which the tree once grew, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast out, it shall happen. Genesetai, it will be." Now what's the point of this pericope? Are we dealing here with biology, the death of a tree? No way. Are we dealing here with geology, the removal of a mountain? Not at all. Our text is dealing with theology. Jesus tells us that when Peter said, "Look at the tree you cursed that is withered," Jesus said to Peter, "Have faith in God." We're dealing in our text with nothing less than the mighty word of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word that cursed the tree is the word that calls for faith. And it is the same word that calls forth faith. Jesus spoke to a tree, and Jesus spoke of a mountain, because through this tree and by this mountain, Jesus speaks to you, and he speaks to me, the preacher, and the future preachers of his gospel. And this is the message he leaves with us. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Greater works than these shall you do. Not just a tree, a mountain. Not because you're in competition with Jesus who has ascended and gone to the Father. No, greater works than these shall you do. Not just a tree, the whole mountain. Because you are in fellowship with this Jesus who has ascended and gone to the Father. Greater works than these shall you do. Not just a tree, a whole mountain, because you are commissioned by Jesus, who said, as he was about to ascend to the Father, All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. In heaven to cast out Satan, on earth to cast out sin. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations. Preachers and future preachers of the gospel, hear this. Many an axe has cut down many a tree, and many a shovel has removed many a mountain, but only the word of our God has the power to forgive a man a sin, or to forgive all men all their sins. We need no axe to cut down trees, and we need no shovels to remove mountains. We have all that we need because we have the living word of the living God, which liveth and abideth forever. By this word, and by this word alone, you reach down into the hearts of men to the very root of their sin. By this word, and by this word alone, you take up that sin and you cast it out. And this you do by the word of your God. In the power of your God, to the glory of your God, and to the eternal welfare and salvation of your fellow men. Amen.